we sung earlier on from the Blue Book, and God vouchsafed to fix his home in every poor expecting heart. Wonderful, Lord. In some ways, my theme this morning is about dwelling place, where God makes his home in us. One encouraging thing is that when you've done preparation and you've spent time with the Lord quietly, wanting him to speak, not personality or your academic brain, you want his spirit to speak. It's wonderful that when things come through the meeting, it confirms something in your heart and you think, oh Lord, I'm on the right track. Not the running track, not to go down the... Don't want to overdo this. But it's wonderful, it encourages. I hope it encourages you, but I was sat there thinking, oh Lord, the dwelling place is mentioned, then the home, and then the... And I just thought, that's what he wants to do in each of our hearts. Those that are poor and expecting this morning, he can flood right in. If you've lost the centrality of God in your life, he wants you to get it back. And that centrality is him right at the core of what dwells in here. And I to put a little title on what I was going to speak about was the centrality of God, and it sounds like I've plucked it from some academic book or some... But there's something wonderful and simple about it. God, through his Son, right at the centre, indwelling in our lives. It's wonderful. We are in a season, at the moment, I've been thinking of the kids. I can see them out there now. They're having a camp this weekend here. Wonderful on Thursday, we prayed for them. Pray for that it would be significant in their lives. And it seems to me that this is a bit of a season of camps. We went camping some weeks back. It rained. There's camps coming up. There's New Life Camp Conference. There's boys' camps. And it really just got me thinking about dwelling place and tent. Tents, not to be in tents. Tents. It's a bit of an old one, that. But the wonderful thing is, what I like about the dwelling place is he wants to absolutely abode in everything that's contacted, in our bodies, our spirit, everything. He wants to take total control. And I was trying to think of some illustration that could really just paint a picture. And I've been reading through, just before I tell you about Numbers, Ephesians, it says about being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And it was from that little verse that my thoughts went away and thought about dwelling places, tents, tabernacle, houses, households, where we dwell. And I've been reading in the book of Numbers, and it's not often that I say it, but it's quite a sad book. It really is. Why is it sad? Well, it's, you get a picture of how God really wanted communion with his people ever since the start, and it was broken. And from Exodus going through to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, it just gives us a picture of how God's dealings with his people, Israel. And so I read through the book of Numbers. If you're into maths, it's called Numbers because I think it's linked with the word arithmia or arithmetic. So don't be put off. If you're not into maths, you can still get something from the book. But Numbers, it kind of starts with this great big census. God was counting like on an army. I think it was men over the age of 19, 20. And he counted them and put them all into their tribes. And they had the fathers of each tribe. And they had a banner. I'm trying to paint a picture of this incredible camp. 12 tribes. You had the Levites that were around it, and Aaron and Moses at the entrance, which is a key bit in this tabernacle. You can read many books on it, and you'll get the gist of it. But just running through Numbers, I saw the incredible picture of God's order. He wanted to get everyone counted. He did a census, so it begins with a census and ends with a census. And if I can just try and get a picture and give and show you something, the incredible, amazing, mind is not the word, but almost that God was in complete control of his people. But the one thing is, he'd get all the tribes to line up in order. And it was all around this key thing, which was the tabernacle. So there's my link from dwelling place, where God wants to indwell us with his spirit, to this place in the Old Testament where it was such a key thing, was the positioning of his tent. I know there's some experts in the room here this morning that are pretty kind of experts on where you pitch your tent. Looking in the direction of Jamie, there's Andrew. But there's key things about the position of the tent. And one thing I looked at when I saw that all the tribes were around this tabernacle, where the Lord's presence was, you had Judah, Benjamin, Reuben, Simeon, and you had all the tribes. And I went through all the numbers, and I'm terrible at maths. I don't enjoy it at all. Married to a maths teacher, who's amazing. And I looked at all the tribes in order. God is about order. He really is. And order, I've been thinking about it, order does not do away with spontaneity. I'm just saying that here in the church. Order does not do away with spontaneity. I love it. But there is still a great order with God. He lines up the tribes. He counts them. And as you, if you were to do a photo above this camp, I was trying to picture it, you had Judah on the east. I can't remember all the other ones, but you can help me, I'm sure. But anyway, they're all in position. And if you photo going down, you'd have the shape of a cross. And again, I thought the incredible centrality of God. For me, the Lord speaks in pictures. I love it. The order of the cross. And you're looking down on this camp and you had them all. The other thing that they had was instructions of what to do. Everyone had a job. It spoke to me of a picture of the church. God has incredible order in the church. He has a job for us to do. He gave loads. If you go through Numbers, I'm amazed at the amount of chapters that talk about just the instructions of what to do. God's in the instructions. I've gone off from my notes. Wonderful Lord. Book of Numbers. It's a sad book. It's a book of journeyings. I read also it's a book of murmurings. Later on I'm going to come into some of the problems that they incur. I think it's relevant for even today. An 11-day journey took 13,780 days. How the Lord suffers long with us. If you go through Exodus, Leviticus is very stationary, you have all the laws, Numbers, it gives a wonderful narrative of the journeyings from Egypt to Sinai, and Sinai to Kadesh, and Kadesh to Moab. And I've just been fixed on how the Lord travels with us, how he runs with us, how he wants to presence himself right in the middle. And I've likened it to the church. I mean, now, here, today, his presence has to be central here. Has to be. Wonderful Lord. Just turn with me, if you can, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Please keep in your mind this amazing camp with all the tribes and children of Israel. I think the total number was about 2.5 million. So there were about 603,000 men in that age group, and then there would have been other family members. That is one big camp. Here today, I think there's about 25. But the Lord can still work in that, can't he? Wonderful. Chapter 10. This is Paul speaking. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples. This was mentioned a few weeks ago about examples and the importance of it. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters of as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, that's for us now, and were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And this has really gripped me, that I think it's so important to remember that Paul's got it in the writing to the church in Corinth about these former things that went on. And I just wanted to speak a little bit about the sins that were occurred in the camp. And some of them are so you can tiptoe around them. One of them is the sexual immorality. And the danger is, I think, if you tiptoe around, I don't think it's right. And I realise that we live in such a sexualized culture and generation that it can influence in a church. We must guard against it. God made every provision in that camp that anything unclean was removed. Anything. So I believe in the church. There must be a guarding, keeping God central, and understanding what culture and spirit that we're under in the world, not in the church, and be aware of it. I don't like to tiptoe around, but I find that the world at the moment is absolutely throwing things through media, advertisements, reading, sexualizing a culture and a generation. Comes through all kinds of mediums. I'm thinking of simple things of phones, tablets, screens, things that will just grab. Oh Lord, be central in our church, individually in our lives, but I'm thinking here of the people. The other one that really caught me, which I don't hear much said about, in verse 10, nor complain, as some of them also complain. Can I tell you what they complained about? Not having specific foods. Garlic. I think there was melon in there. If you're not lovers of those kind of foods, then maybe... Can I just give you an illustration? They were complaining against God and his provision. We've heard about it earlier this morning, about the bread of heaven. He gave them manna from heaven. He gave the water from the rock. Do you remember he instructed Moses, hit the rock twice. Hit the rock twice, what came out? Water, abundantly. Speaks of the Lord, doesn't it? Bread, water. Amazing provision. Complaining. I often speak to someone who will remain nameless. I'm praying for them. Another on my little prayer chain of people I spend a lot of time with. And one thing I've noticed that when I'm in conversation with this person, it could be just a beautiful sunny day. And I could say, well, that's lovely out there, isn't it? Look at the sun, so warm. And well, it's too hot for me. I don't like the heat. It does this to me. And then I could say something else where we'd worked hard for the week. The sun that have worked hard. I'm giving an illustration that actually, it didn't matter what I'd say. Something was always coming back in this, and it's deflating. It's kind of, oh Lord. Excuse me, a bit of a cold. But you know what, the thing I was thinking about, that we can complain against one another, but ultimately it's complaining against the Lord. I know I have to be careful here. You can send your complaints to me by post after. But if we do things in love, I know I get concerns, and I think when you go out for meals these days, sometimes you can get given a card and you can just need complaints for kind of all, you know. They're almost encouraging you to have this spirit of just complaining, and I'm amazed with the children of Israel. Over the food they complained. They wanted to stone Moses and Aaron. Complaints. I started to think that with complaints, I wonder if that we should have in the background just a picture of the cross. That when your complaints arise and they come up and different people you hear, just in the background a picture of the cross. So I find the complaints seem to kind of just diminish, disappear. Be very careful, because when we complain against one another, it's actually indirectly going straight to God. I'm saying it in love, not to kind of... I'm also not going to shy away from it, because I think it's such a huge thing. I read something from David Pawson, and he said one of the biggest dangers for the church that it faces these days is grumbling. Murmuring, complaining, and this is one that I used to get when I was a boy and young, whining. Mum and Dad, when are we there? When are we there? Are we there yet, Mum? These are just silly illustrations, but actually, it can grow into something more when you're an adult. It can come from a little bit of bitterness. It can come from a genuine hurt. And that's why I think the Lord always wants to say, come to me. I can take your cares, your worries. He wants to be central in our camp, in our dwelling place. Belly aching. It's quite an American one. But I think the link with food works on that one. They belly ached. They wanted meat. And they got meat. And I read that they got so much meat that it was 1.5 meters off the floor. That's a picture of God's abundance, but it also shows a picture of people just not grumbling, not being content. Contentment is massive. I'm so content in the Lord. He's all that I want, all that I put my life in, all that I need. Today is my daily bread. Today I know that the rock is abundantly full of water that's been poured out for you all here today. Wonderful Saviour. What happens when God is central? There's a supply. Bread, water. Christ the rock and the bread of life. The other thing you get when God is central, and I'm thinking of, you can think individually in your life, but I'm thinking more of a people, the body. Here's something else. There's a calling. And one thing that when I was reading through Numbers was that Moses was instructed to make two trumpets, silver trumpets. And they were to be sounded. And if one of the trumpets was sounded on its own, it was a trumpet, it was a calling. The leaders would gather at the entrance of the tabernacle, and God would give his great instruction. So Moses, Aaron, all the leaders of the tribe would gather. That's the one trumpet. I wonder if that's something to do with these days, maybe leaders hearing the instruction of the Lord. The second trumpet, this gives direction. When the two trumpets sounded together, I love pictures. I can picture the men there with their trumpets, handmade, silver. Two trumpets sounding together, it was a call for everyone. Everyone. The whole body, the camp, the men. Everyone, women, children. Trumpet number two I've picked. Cloud by day, fire by night. I love the presence of the Lord. So with direction, there came a cloud that came over the tent in the daytime and then fire at night. I know you know these stories, but it's really spoken to me. I just love the kind of the pictures of it, that God wants to be in us. He wants to move us in a direction. Order. What happens when God is centre? He brings order. There was a census. He amazingly instructed there to be a large counting of all the peoples. I mean, to start with, all the men over in a certain age. Perfectly planned movement of a camp, I put down. I realise that if you're moving 2. So and so million people, logistically, that would be an absolute nightmare. I find it miraculous. I find it miraculous now that across the whole nation today and in all the world's people groups that Pete and Ruth have shared about, the Lord is moving. He's moving his body. His expression now of Christ in the church. Wonderful. We're in that movement. Whether you know it, whether you're in a different speed to Dave running on the park run, we are actually moving together in the right direction. But wonderful that Lord brings order. There's an entrance. I can understand that Moses and Aaron, they would camp at the entrance, which made it so significant, the entrance. The gate into the tabernacle. One of the hardest things I think that we find often is to enter in. And the whole generation of these stories here, apart from two, which was Joshua, who we heard about earlier on, and Caleb. Two great names. The rest of that generation, I realised that reading through this, that the Lord had to deal with this whole generation. That generation was just to die out. And that's why when I read through Numbers, I think, wow, it's a sad book. You know that we can frustrate the Lord. We hold on to things too much and too tightly, we can stop him directing us, calling us. Wonderful Saviour. He brings discipline. Our wonderful Lord brings discipline. Those that were unclean were removed. I'm amazed that God, in and through the sin of the people, he still went further. He still went further to every extremity to provide something where he might still have communion with his people. Wonderful Lord. When I read this, I find it an example of how to live now. Lord, take my grumblings away. Here's something that would come as a matter of the Lord being central. And it's this thing of core strength. I like athletics. I like just in general the sporting activities of different people. It doesn't control my life, by the way. Just to get that in there before summer. It's not all about running and that. But actually, something wonderful about, I think in the last 10 years... 15 years, there's been a massive emphasis on athletes, sportsmen, footballers to do core strengthening. There's been certain exercises that have been, in some ways, forgotten about and neglected. If I can kind of give you a bit of a picture, but it's pretty much the core central part of your actual physical frame. And this thing, and I'm thinking about the Lord being the core and the strength in our lives, one thing that it really does do is this. I wrote down this. Core strength. It improves balance and stability. It helps prevent injuries. And it gives a strong and confident posture. Wonderful. You know, the only confidence we can have is in the Lord, but you can actually this morning, in your hearts, you can be about a good posture. Wonderful what the Lord's done. Sometimes I want to not put the chest out in a boastful way, but oh Lord, He's wonderful. He does not want us to be dislocated. And in that I know firsthand from many knee injuries of dislocation, it hurts, it's painful. You have to go through rehabilitation. Wonderful Lord. It improves our balance and stability. One thing that if someone asks me, what does the Lord really bring to you in your life? And what has He brought to your life? I'd have to say stability. You could think that that's not very an exciting kind of thing to say. He's brought blessing, abundance. And for me, I think it's wonderful. The Lord brings stability. Stability to our mind, thought processes, marriage, how to bring up children. Often, where do we go in life, geographically? How do you know the will of God? I'm amazed that when the Lord brings His life into our hearts, that He brings us stability. That's what the church needs, because so many that are lost are unstable. Unbalanced in their thought processes. And they do see something stable in the church, I believe. That's why so many years ago, hundreds of years ago, it was almost like a refuge for many. Church buildings were like a refuge. Wonderful Saviour. John 1 says that the Word became flesh. And the flesh dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Glory of the Father, the only begotten. And His grace and truth, it says. And I love this. I'm not actually sure if it's a word. But I love it that the Lord, He wants to tabernacle with us. Is that a word? It is. This morning He wants to tabernacle with us. He wants to dwell within us. There's a hymn that we sing, dwell within me, dwell within me. Holy fire. I don't like the tune, that's not a complaint. Just to get that in there quickly. It's okay not to like some tunes. Please feel free to pick that hymn if people want to pick it. But I love the words, dwell within me. Wonderful Saviour. Precious Lord. God, central amongst and in the camp. Christ, central on the cross. I liken God in the camp of Israel to Christ on the cross. Christ on the cross was surrounded by sin. Those that scorned. Those that mocked. And I thought of God presence in Himself amongst those thousands of people just wanting communion with them, wanting to be their God, wanted to simply give them instruction, to show His love, to provide bread, water, meat. And I think of the wonderful cross, the Lord providing forgiveness, redemption, God giving His Son, surrounded by sin. And I thought of that man dying on the cross. And the Lord saying, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, there's great opportunity in these days The Lord wants to gather many into his camp. He wants to indwell his people again. I know in some ways that I'm speaking to people that have known the Lord for many years. Some it may be a new journey. Vastness in different journeys and different stories. Maybe different hurts, different concerns. But the Lord doesn't want a grumbling people. He wants to keep the focus on him. It's not just about when the meeting finishes now, we can go back to kind of a, you know. He wants us to carry it on. Impact the workplaces where we are. If your journey has just started, keep the wonderful Lord at the centre of it. Keep your prayer life very simple. Keep it daily. If you've known the Lord for many, many years, can I just say that the trumpet call still comes now? It's to rise up. It's for the Lord to call and give direction. I love the trumpet call. Talks about it in Revelation 21. You can read it. Wonderful Saviour. I love the dual trumpet. Everyone. Not just a few. Everyone. All in the body. Precious Lord, I've lost all time constraints. There's still time. He's given us his wonderful Spirit. I know this illustration is before the Holy Spirit really came and was shed abroad. But God's still the same. He wanted communion with his people. I didn't go into all the details, but I was amazed at the beauty and what went into the tabernacle. Absolute detail. Pegs. The screen. Poles. The canvas. The table. I made a little list. The gate. The brazen altar. Tabernacle of sacrifices. The laver, which is the basin. The lampstand. The table of showbread, the incense, the Holy of Holies, the veil, which we sung about earlier on, the Ark of the Covenant. You know, he gave everyone a specific job. And if you think you're jobless in the church, you're not. The Lord wants you. He wants you to serve. Amazingly, he gives us a job that he knows that we can cope with. Very gracious Lord. But he does want us to move out. We must hear his call, wait for the direction. One thing I've realised is that there are so many voices in the world at the moment. I'm amazed with the voices coming up to this Thursday. The media. The slandering. The personal attacks. We must put all our thoughts on the Lord. He will give us an answer. Precious Lord. Wait for the trumpet. If you want the Lord to dwell in your heart, I say, do you want the Lord to dwell in your heart more? I want to go on. Direction. Precious Lord. He wants to indwell his people more and more. May the complaints of any hearts disappear. Be absolutely bowled over by his wonderful love and grace. May it be replaced with gratitude, thankfulness. It's where the Lord works then. If we come with hearts that we humble ourselves and are thankful, full of gratitude, I think the Lord runs in. And I think he floods it. And he uses the people. The church, I think, I shouldn't say it like that. I believe the church was designed to dispense. It's been in my mind for ages. It's designed to dispense. So when the Lord gives a call and gives a direction, it's that we go with him. But it, actually, while we're doing that, it's impacting people in our lives. Maybe it's a brother that doesn't know the Lord. Sister. We are designed to dispense. Precious Lord. If you want to go on with the Lord, then I feel like responding myself. I'm hopeless at finishing meetings. The Lord knows. But I leave it with him. Precious Lord. I'll just pray. Lord. Wonderful Lord. Lord, find our hearts cleaned out, Lord. Wholly available, Lord, for you to dwell in your spirit, Lord. Thank you for journeying with us, Lord. Thank you for that character, Joshua, Lord. We pray for that young lad. Lord, it's such a picture of you, Lord. That you come alongside. You come alongside, you surround, but you indwell, Lord. We worship you. Precious Lord. Lord, fill us again and send us out, Lord. Send us out into the most, some ways, dire circumstances. But Lord, we through your wonderful strength, Lord, can be a positive influence, Lord. Heal those broken-hearted, Lord, we pray. Dwell within us, Lord. Wonderful, Lord.